Good morning, everybody. My name is Guillermo Marcillo. I am a graduate student in the Department of Agronomy at Iowa State University, and it's a big pleasure for me to be here to share with you some of the results of my research project, which is called Corn Yield Response to Winter Cover Crops, an Updated Meta-Analysis. And before I'm going into the details of it, let me just start with a brief recap of some of the things that we've been hearing all along the conference, and is that, cover crops are plants that are intercropped between cycles of commercial production for environmental purposes mainly. And we know that bringing a new species into rotation, we are kind of affecting the system. So cover crops can bring positive things, such as increasing a soil water infiltration, decreased nitrate leaching, or suppressing weeds. But on the negative side of things, there have been reports of negative effects of the cover crop, such as a decrease in plant available water, nitrogen immobilization, or residue that interferes with farm machine and reduces cash crop populations. So all in all, there are positive and negative effects of cover crops, but the question is, where is the point in between? Cover crops are overall positive or negative? And effort was taken in 2004 to answer this question, and there was a meta-analysis or evaluation of peer-reviewed research from 1965 to 2004, and the conclusion in that study was that cover crops are mostly neutral or positive in their contribution to corn yields. And of course, this effect is not the same all across different environments of management scenarios. So I'm going to be touching on this in the next slides. And, over the years, we know that farmers are using cover crops. We've been learning to use them better. But still, cover crop adoption is minimal. And although the trend of adoption is slightly increasing over the years, there are knowledge gaps that still remain. And because of that, our motivation to take up on this project was to look at the literature in the last 10 years and update the mean corn yield response to cover crop based on evidence from the last 10 years of research in the United States and Canada. And to do this, we implemented the same methodology, a meta-analysis. And for those in here who are not familiar with that specific method, we're just looking at different independent studies, weighting them, and combining in with a goal to reach a conclusion and analyze how variable those information are. So for this particular study, we identified the studies and recovered corn yield. We targeted the studies that reported yield records with and without a cover crop. And also we were able to recover management information of those papers, namely factors that were controlling those trials or experiments leading to those publications. Things like tillage, no tillage, nitrogen fertilization, things like that. Then we prepare our final database, and then we just combine the results and analyze how variable that data was. We started out our project with a previous compilation of the studies from 1965 to 2004, and we complemented this original database with additional searching, and we targeted 22 new articles published in the last 10 years, for a great total of 58 articles that reported yield for corn following a cover crop treatment, no cover crop. Those studies were published in the United States and Canada, and the time of publication spanned between 1965 to 2015. In meta-analysis, RI represents a single yield comparison with and without a cover crop. And each point in the database follows a single mean effect that is kind of describing what is going on with the whole database, plus explain a portion of that data set that comes from the factors that were controlling those experiments. And a big component of uncertainty, what we don't know what it is, but in meta-analysis we're able to hypothesize what it is. And those differences comes from variability within each study, and things that make different one study from the others. So that is one of the advantages of bringing a meta-analysis when we analyze big data. And the dependent variable for our analysis was a response ratio. in which we divided yield with yield of corn following a cover crop treatment against yield with no cover. And whenever we have a response ratio of 1, that means that yields with cover crop and yields without a cover crop are just a one-on-one comparison. Whenever we have a response ratio greater than 1, that is kind of implying that yields with cover crop are greater than yields with no cover. And whenever we have a response ratio less than 1, that means that there's no advantages of adding a cover crop into the system. And just to ensure that we affect equally the quantities in the numerator and the denominator, we perform a log transformation. And we look at the study variances in each paper. And that sometimes is not very, most of the time we don't have that information at hand. And when that was not possible, we just contacted the authors to ask them directly for those numbers. And when still it didn't work, we just have to resort to other statistical procedures to approximate those numbers. So in the end, we estimate two numbers that describe the whole variability in the data set, that is the variance, or the what makes difference one study from the other, and the mean effect. And some look at the results. This I'm showing here a scale of logarithmic numbers. So whenever you have a point over the zero line, that represent that yields are one-on-one, cover crop against no cover crop. So no gain, no lose. When we analyze the data by type of cover crop, we see that the grass cover crops is the most representative group in our data set. Each point, again, represents a comparison of yields with and without a cover crop, and horizontal bars are just the study errors. So in the grass group, we see that most of the distribution of points are around the line of no effect, suggesting again that their contribution is neutral. Whereas the legume group, we have that most of the points tend to be towards the line of positive contribution, so those numbers are greater than zero. And in the mixture group, we have fewer observations, but you know, the distribution of points tend to be fairly compensated on both sides. So over the years, we see that in the first meta-analysis from 65 to 2004, the contribution of cover crops to corn yields was estimated at 11% above what could have been without the cover crop. And from 2005 to 2015, in this period of analysis with the new information in the database, we estimated that corn yields with cover crop were 4% above corn yields without a cover crop. And over this time span of 50 years, we have found statistical evidence that cover crop contribution on corn yields have been 8% above those without the cover crop. As I said before, this is not a unique answer that works for every system or every management scenario. Grasses, when analyzed by the species, grasses tend to be neutral, and it's just a confirmation of the previous meta-analysis and the previous plot that I showed. And mixtures and legumes tend to be majorly positive, with a range of benefits between 15 to 23% gains in yield for corn with a cover crop. When we analyze the response by region, there are so many things that can happen in that plot, and there's not a single answer that explains that variability. But in places like Canada or North Central region, we tend to see that the cover crop effect on yield was positive, but lower than it would for Southwest or Northeast region in the States, where we saw that the positive effect of the cover crop was 13 to 16% more yield for corn following a cover crop. And when we think about controlling factors in a management system, we think about nitrogen. So in this plot, we have on the y-axis the response ratios. This is no longer a logarithmic scale. We just transformed it back to a response ratio to make it more easy to compare. And on the x-axis, this is nitrogen fertilization. And we see that grasses and legumes are quite different, and the reason is that those two species interact differently with nitrogen in the soil. And grasses tend to produce residue that is of lower quality, high carbon and nitrogen ratios decompose is lower, and nitrogen is immobilized. So that's why corn that is fertilized responds more favorably, and is not the case in the legume cover crop scenario, where legumes fix their own nitrogen, then tend to build up this sort of credit nitrogen in the soil, and the residue of the legume is decomposed faster, mineralization is sped up, and that's why when we increase in fertilization in corn following a legume, resulting in lower contribution of the cover crop to the system. So the benefits of legume are not really visualized under that scenario. With that in mind, I want to conclude by saying that over 50 years, we have seen a significant contribution of cover crop to corn yields, and this effect is highly dependent of different conditions of the management of the management, the scenarios that are implemented. Legumes and mixture cover crops tend to display a positive effect, whereas grasses tend to be neutral. Again, it's a confirmation from the previous study. And cover crop effects vary across regions all along the United States and Canada. And I want just to extend a note of appreciation to the funding sources. Without them, I couldn't be standing up here. And I'm happy to take questions. Thank you. Are you referring to this here? Up here?
Compared to 65.
Oh, yeah, okay, the first plot. Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely have to be a big component of technology improvements in the way that. I'm sorry, the question was that why I think that 2000, in the last 10 years of. Of research on cover crops, we see a lower contribution of the cover crop, and I think that there is a big major effect of the technology-driven higher corn yields. Like, I don't know if you're talking specifically about corn hybrids and their higher contribution on yields that are independent of the cover crop, and that's kind of a good argument in the way that cover crops are not driving all the effects to a you know, to higher productivity in a corn-based system. There's definitely different things that contribute to that. A cover crop is just an important contributor for that.
I'm just thinking pre-1980, we were using some pretty antiquated methods to plant corn.
Right.
We didn't have the herbicide program that we got today. We certainly didn't have the hybrids that we have today. So it seems like our ability to use cover crops has greatly improved.
Sure. Thanks for that note. Yeah.
One of the things that didn't come out in your meta-analysis that I'm wondering what your thoughts on how to possibly include this or how you dealt with this issue. So there's this learning curve, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're just presenting research.
Right.
So there's this learning curve to working with cover crops. And then beyond just this learning curve where some researchers are just starting, you know, I think about myself and the first couple years of cover crops, our ability to get cover crops to perform increased, you know, improved
right.
management. So there's that factor, and how do you take that into consideration? And the second one is how do you deal with legacy? So you have data coming from publications where they're on a site that may have been under cover crop in their genes for 20 years versus one that's been on cover crop genes for 1 year.
Yeah.
And that is certainly going to play into what we all think that the long-term benefits of cover crops will be.
Right. Yeah. This question was made up of two parts, and the first is, what's my thought about using mostly peer-reviewed research, as opposed to research that comes from different sources? And we use just the advantage of using peer-reviewed papers, because that makes us confident so we can implement the statistical procedures aligned with that, because otherwise, most of that data, is very valid, but don't come from, you know, from control experiments that help us reduce the variability.
Okay, my question wasn't about whether it came from research.
Right. Right.
That's something I don't think you could really handle very well.
Sure, no.
But
no.
It's more the legacy of
yep.
The cover crop.
Yeah, and in that gives me just an argument to answer to your second part of your question when saying what's about this legacy effect of long sight terms. And we're sort of taking into account that effect. I'm not showing here figures for the whole project that was submitted for review. And in there, we sort of doing a sensitivity analysis, performing what would be the effect of the cover crop effect, controlling for year of publication. And we saw some sort of interesting findings that would take longer to explain, but I'd be happy to discuss after the meeting. Sure. Thank you.